In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. And as I always say, I'm glad to be with you. And it is an honor to be with you because you know what? No one else in the Archdiocese of Boston has this honor that I have. That I can come into your car or into your living room or wherever you are today, into your kitchen, while you're walking, it's a beautiful day, into another state, you know, that I can do this every single day, Monday through Friday. And people say it's a lot of work, but I think it's a great privilege, even though sometimes I feel like an old rag, but it's a privilege that God has given me to bring this Word of God to you. And I really don't often think of it as a privilege. I think of it just as this is my responsibility. But today I'm thinking it is a real privilege to be able to speak to you because no one else has that privilege. You know, I know they have Catholic television, but people aren't on every day. I'm on every day. And in Boston, I'm on two stations. So it's a great privilege. It's a great privilege. And I know there are a lot of people who listen to me that are not Catholic. And I know there are people that listen to me that are Jewish. And I love Jewish people. I love Jewish people because I'm Jewish. I am Jewish because, you see, to be a Catholic Christian is to be a Jew also. You have to be. And if you ever would look into my bloodline, I would imagine that there is Jewish blood there. I would imagine. But I can't prove that, and I'm not into genealogy because, you know what, I haven't got the time. But let me just say this again, which I don't often say. It is a great privilege to be with you today. So, Holy Spirit, you love these people so much, and you give them what they need today. You give them what they need today. The scripture says from Revelation 1, verse 5, "Unto him," that's Jesus, "that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood," my Lord. We could just stop there, you know, and just meditate on that reality that Jesus has loved us so much that he has washed us from our sins in his own blood. But not only has he washed us from our sins, but he's washed us from our diseases, and he's washed us from the past, you see. And I want you to know that's the love of God, that Jesus the Lord has washed us clean in his blood. And this precious blood is the blood of God's only begotten Son. And this blood is the life, because the scripture says the life is in the blood. Oh, it said that 4,000 years before scientists discovered that life is in the blood. And yet, the Bible tells us that Jesus washed us with his life, with his blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and unto his Father. My Lord, kings and priests. But let me just tell you this about this whole thing about, you know, we're kings and priests. It's not being kings and priests after the world. I just want to tell you it's kings and priests after Jesus Christ. Because the King of Kings hung on a cross. You see, we get things all messed up. We just like to think kings are kings, and I'm a king's kid, and everything is mine, and I'm da-da-dee-da-da-da-da-da-do. Rather than, if we are kings and priests, it's after Jesus Christ, not after the world. And that means the King of Kings, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, was hung upon a cross, that he paid for our salvation. And we are kings in union with the crucified, risen Savior. We are priests in union with the priest who offered himself as a living sacrifice on the cross. And therefore, we need to do the same, you see. It's not kings according to the world, like Queen Elizabeth, everybody's toting to Queen Elizabeth, and isn't that lovely, ha-ha, and a ho-ho-ho. Jesus is the king, and he dies upon a cross. Therefore, his people, you and I, must live lives crucified. Isn't that an awful thing to tell you today? But you see, that's what St. Paul says. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So kings and priests after Jesus Christ, not kings and priests after the world. And that is why the church, you and I, have not converted the world, because we think it's all about us. It's all about you, and it's all about me. When in reality, it's all about him. It's really all about Jesus. Oh, and I know how to fall into that pattern of it's all about me, you know, when I start feeling sorry for myself. But let me also tell you, it really even isn't about me when I'm feeling sorry for myself. It's about him. And if he calls me to be a king, it's to be a king after Jesus, who is the King of the Jews on a cross. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. If he calls me to be a priest, he is the priest on the cross, and now at the Father's right hand as an intercessor, the one who intercedes, ever living to make intercession for us. It's that kind of priesthood. It's not this kind of, I have special benefits. You know, my special benefit is the Lord. I just had a whole beautiful group of Spanish women and their beautiful little children come in to be prayed with. They had called me a long time ago, and now the kids are on vacation, and so we had about four mothers and about eight or nine children. I don't know. I didn't count them. And, you know, the first thing one of the little boys asked me, says, what power do you have? And that's something. What power do you have? That's what he asked me. And I said, my power is that I love Jesus. That's my power. Isn't that nice? What power do I have? Give me a break. I have no power other than that Jesus loves me and I love him. That's my power. That's where I plug in. See, I'm not plugging in saying, oh, I got this great power. Listen, some days I barely get through the day. But that doesn't stop God from working with me and doing what he needs to do. Kings and priests unto God his Father. And that's what we are called to be, kings and priests after Jesus Christ. And, you know, everybody thinks it's all about a bonus. I'm the head and not the tail. And that's really true. I am the head and not the tail. But that doesn't mean the head is not crucified. That does not mean that the head does not live in union with the cross. I am the head and not the tail. I believe that. But I also believe that, you see, if this is what they did to the Lord, you know, this is going to be the life that we live. Crucified, risen life. Behold, he comes with the clouds. Oh, and everybody wants that to happen. Everybody wants him to come with the clouds. Oh, yes, when that last trump will be sounded. Hallelujah, and the dead will be raised, the scripture says, in the twinkling of an eye. Isn't that wonderful? But let me just tell you this. Before he comes, there shall be great terror. There shall be great darkness. And there shall be great pain. And it tells us in Matthew 24 that even the elect will be deceived. And that the love of many have grown cold because sin has increased, my Lord. You see, everyone will see him. And he will come with the clouds. But you know what? My question is, will you be faithful? And will I be faithful? Will we be able to endure the tribulation? People say, we're going to come out of it. We're going to be raptured up. Honey, I hope you're right. But it's not going to be a rapture. It's going to be a rupture. We're going to be raptured up. But you know what? One day every eye will see him. the one we pierced, and we will wail because of him. But let me tell you, before he comes, there will be great darkness upon the earth. And if you ask me, we are beginning to see the birth pangs of that darkness like never before. We are beginning to see things that we have never seen before in governments, world economies. If you heard, the world economy went down, the percentage went down. Not the United States, the world economy. My Lord, he told me that in 1997 that there would be a world economic depression. My Lord, it seems like we're headed that way. And that's why I want to bolster you up to trust in the Lord, that your power is that Jesus loves you and you are loved him, and you need to be with people that love Jesus, I'm going to tell you, because we will not be able to do this alone if we are to enter into the time of tribulation. I might be wrong that there won't be a tribulation for us, but you know what? Better to be safe than sorry. If people have their parachutes on because they're going to be raptured, and they don't get raptured, they get captured. My Lord, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on, let me tell you. Because you see, if you're not raptured, you're captured, and you know, they might be putting us into jails. Especially now where we hear that Eleanor McCullen is what? She's a terrorist because she goes to abortion mills. And our soldiers who have defended our lives, they who are leaving the service, they are potential terrorists. Imagine what they'd say about me if they heard me talk about Obama. Obama. And again, I don't care if he's yellow or green. His philosophy stinks. According to my Christian ideals, according to my Christian, his philosophy stinks. And he could be a white Anglo-Saxon Catholic. And if he had the philosophy, the philosophy stinks. But people have been mesmerized by this man. Mesmerized. Imagine kissing up to Castro. I have Cuban friends. When Maria Vadilla, evangelist, and she's in Poland right now, Lord anoint her, says Castro is demonized. Imagine kissing up to Castro and Castro's brother, Raul. Do you know that they don't even make $20 a week, those people? That all those people are in bondage to that wicked man? Do you realize the hundreds of thousands of people he has killed? Sucking up to Castro. I'm going to tell you, you need to talk to some Cubans. And you need to see what Castro did. Maria Vadilla says he's demonized and he's an occultist. But you see, these people that are waiting to be raptured, if the rapture comes, you're not going to be ready. You're not going to be able to endure. I'd rather get ready for the rapture than for the rapture. Because if the rapture comes, I'm in. Hallelujah! But if the rapture comes, I'm not ready. You see? I'd rather get ready for the worst than to get ready for the best. Because I know some of you already have your parachutes on. You're ready to go up. You know your song is going to be up, up, and away. Whee! But you know, I don't think so. When I look what's happening, my friend, I just look now and I see Israel. Israel, my Lord, you know, the United States to Israel, don't you dare bomb Iran. Iran? Iran wants Israel thrown into the sea. Wants to obliterate the name of Israel off the map. Don't you dare bomb Iran. Iran is getting, you know what they're getting? nuclear weapons. And guess who's going to be the hit of the nuclear weapons? I tell you, it will be Israel. Iran hates the Jews. Oh, it's a 4,000-year fight, and we think we're going to fix it. As Mary Rice says, I call her Maria Rizzone. As Mary Rice says, we can't even be friends with our neighbors. We're going to fix Israel and Iran. We don't even have relationship with our neighbors. So we're going to fix the feud between Israel and Iran, between the Arabs and the Jews. She says, that is so stupid. And you know what? Mary Rizzone is absolutely right. She's right. I don't understand why Maria Rizzone, Mary Rice, knows these things. And our leaders don't. And I'm going to tell you why she does. Because she has been spiritually awakened by the Holy Ghost. But you don't need much of the Holy Ghost to know that, you know? You don't need much of the Holy Ghost to know that. Listen to what it says. I'm just going to say this be a scenario, okay? I'm not saying it is the scenario, but it is a scenario. Listen to what it says, okay? Let's say Israel bombs Iran. Let's say that, okay? We'll just say that. If Israel bombs Iran, you know what's going to happen, don't you? All the nations of the world will turn against Israel. Listen to what it says in Zechariah 14. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Israel, against Jerusalem, to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. So I don't know if we're living in those times. I have no idea if we're living in those times. But just let's paint the picture. The picture is Iran, and we're sucking up to Iran. Iran wants Jerusalem and Israel off the map, wants Jerusalem to become an Arab city. All right? Israel is a state as big as New Jersey. All right? Israel has nuclear capabilities. Iran wants to destroy Jerusalem as we know it and Israel. All right? Israel is saying, not on your life. All right? Obama is sucking up to Iran. And we have told Israel, you do not bomb. You know, as if we have the power to control them. But you know what? If Israel feels threatened that her people are going to be destroyed, you know what she's going to do. She's going to bomb. And you know, if she bombs, the whole world will be against Israel, even the United States. And I tell you, if you go against Israel, you're going against God. I'm not saying that Israel is all God. I'm not saying that even most of them are believers anymore. But I truly believe that our friendship with the 51st state, and that's called Israel, and our support of the 51st state, that's called Israel, has kept us in good standing with God. I believe that. Now, I might be wrong. I'm just telling you what I believe, okay? That's what I believe. You know, you have these two nations, the Arabs and the Jews, they've hated each other from the beginning. People say the Jews treat the Arabs very unfairly. That's right. But the Jews were off of their land for how many thousand of years, you know? Now they've got their land. And they are doing things that are not human to the Arabs. They fence them in. Do I agree with that? No, I don't agree with that. But you know what? They've been a dispossessed people for 2,000 years. Now they've got their land. You think anyone's going to take it away from them? And we'll hear the Pope say, you know, to Israel that you shouldn't do this. Well, we'll say to the Pope, Benedict, okay, Benedict, we're going to take over the Vatican. All right? We're going to take over the Vatican, Benedict, and just be still now. We're going to bring you to a lovely church called Holy Rosary in Winthrop, and you can be the Pope at Holy Rosary in Winthrop, but we're taking over the Vatican. Not in your life. See, when it happens to you, it's very different. We can all pontificate about what Israel needs to do until they start taking our land. Know what I'm saying? It's very easy to say those things. I could say anything until they start taking my land. But then things are very big, very different when they start taking my land. You see, because that's my land. Don't you dare take my land. Don't you dare take my land. This is my land. This is my ancestry. This has been given to us by God and our fathers. Yeah, you see, when the shoe's on the other foot, we change the tune very quickly. Very quickly. Yet, get ready for the rupture and not the rapture. Because if the rapture comes, you win. If you belong to Jesus. If the rupture comes, you'll be ready. Now, how do you get ready for the rupture? I'm going to tell you. Today at 3 o'clock at the Holy Rosary, we're going to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 o'clock, and we're going to repent. We're going to repent. It's going to be a repenting party. We're going to repent for our sins, the sins of the church, the sins of our nation, the sins of the world, and for our own sins. That's 3 o'clock at the Holy Rosary in Winthrop, a repenting party. We're going to pray the Divine Mercy. We're going to do that every Friday. We have a repentance party, you know. Someone's got to repent. That's one way to get ready. Another way, tonight we have Mass at the Holy Rosary, and it's at 7:30, and it's followed by Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. These demons will only be taken out through prayer and fasting. I'm telling you, we are in crucial times. We are in crucial times. Yes, he will come upon the clouds. Yes, every eye shall see him. Yes, those who pierced him shall see him. But before we see him, will there be a rapture or a rupture? That's my question. And oh, I know the people that believe in the rapture. They've got their parachutes on. They're ready to go up. Oh, yeah, they're even getting thinner because they think that if they get thinner, they'll go higher. My Lord. But I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that there's going to be a rapture. I believe there's going to be a rupture. And all these raptured people that are stuck on the ground are going to get captured. And they're not going to know what to do because they didn't plan for this experience of being persecuted. Jesus said, if they persecute me, they shall persecute you. They shall run you out of town. Mother against father. Father against son. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. That's what Jesus said. I believe Jesus. I don't know if you believe Jesus. Jesus says, the verdict is this, that the light has come into the world and that men have preferred darkness unto the light. This is the verdict, that Jesus Christ, the light, has come into the world and that the United States and every other country has preferred darkness to the light. And the verdict is this, that those who do not believe and give their life unto Jesus are under the wrath of God. That's what it says. These are the readings that we've been getting from the church. And I believe these readings. You know why? Because Jesus said it. If Jesus said it, I believe it. I do not want to be under the wrath of God. I want to be under the favor of God.
under the favor of God. That means I walk by faith, and I walk in truth, and I walk in love. That's what it means. And my Lord, if there's a rupture, I'm not telling you I'm not the biggest chicken on the street. I'm telling you I'm going to depend upon God to keep me faithful, because there are some things worth living for and some things worth dying for. And most people are ready for the rupture. No, for the rapture. They've got their parachutes on, and it's not a parachute that you're going to need. What you're going to need are knee pads, so that your knees are going to get worn out from praying, from interceding, from being the priest and the king crucified with Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's what I wanted to tell you today. I hope you've been encouraged, and I hope you're going to come today at 3 o'clock as we celebrate the divine mercy and as we repent before it's too late. Because you know what? One day it's going to be too late. So it's not too late now. We're still under the mercy. We're still under the mercy. We're still under the mercy. It's not too late now. Okay, let me tell you this. This Monday, they are planning to have a meeting to open an abortion mill, a killing factory in Brookline. I would like people to get to 111 Harvard Street at 6:15 in the evening. I've changed the time to 6:15 in the evening just to go and pray so that the people will vote against the mill. You understand what I'm saying? They're being thrown out of the mill on Route 9, and they're looking for another house. So if they get another house, they get us too. They don't want us. This is a residential area. We're not going to holler. We're not going to scream. We're going to pray, and we're going to be quiet. That if they get this house in Brookline, they get us too. Understand what I'm saying? That's the way it is. There's no abortions taking place. This is a meeting, and we want the people to know if they bring that death place in, they bring us in too. So that's this Monday at what time? At 6:15 in the evening, and it's 111 Harvard Street in Brookline. I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. You know why? Because we need to pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And you can also click me on www.fathertoms.com. That's my .com, fathertoms.com. And you can see what we've been doing. This will be on the internet in time to come, fathertoms.com. Please, 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 help me with your gifts. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.
In Season and Out of Season is sponsored by In Season and Out of Season.